This passage is also from the Gospel of Luke, and it is the 19th chapter, verses 1 through 10. Listen to God's word. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." The word of the Lord. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Zacchaeus is sometimes referred to as the patron saint of those who are vertically challenged. I'm sorry to say that sometimes short people are discriminated against. You wouldn't believe it, but right here in this church. There are sometimes I have come in on a Sunday morning and found the pulpit like this. Other times, you didn't know that it was up and down. Other times, I've stepped into this pulpit and there's one of the boxes to stand on that have been here. Oh, I heard you laugh, George Conway. The very first words out of George's mouth to me when we met was, there was associate pastor, Dan Morrison, and George said, "Now we have an ugly pastor and a short pastor." So when I met his mother, Lil, you remember what I said to you? It was upon learning that you were his mother, I gave you my condolences. There you go. Yeah. I know, that's right. Rightfully so. No more from you right now. Okay, enough of that. I'll get him again. Zacchaeus, because of his height, was not able to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. Jesus had come near Jericho, and earlier in the chapter before, we find that there's a crowd of people that go out to meet him and accompany him into the city. That's very common for when somebody who has any kind of celebrity or notoriety is coming. People go out and meet him and come back in. Jesus, it says, was going through Jericho. He wasn't planning on stopping in Jericho. He kept going out till he was out of the city. I'll tell you why we know that in a minute. And this person, Zacchaeus, wanted to get a view of him. Just wanted to take a look at Jesus. But because of his height, too much of a crowd, and Zacchaeus would not dare enter into such a large crowd in order to get a look, because he was despised by people. He was hated by people. He was an outcast by the whole community because he was a tax collector. Like Matthew in the passage that Marie read, a publican is a tax collector. Levi is another name for Matthew. We know this specifically because in Matthew's gospel, he identifies himself as Matthew. That incident is recorded in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But in this one, in Zacchaeus, which is the only gospel that records this incident with Zacchaeus, we find out that not only is he a tax collector, and I'll tell you why they were despised, but he is a chief tax collector, and he is wealthy. Now, why was he despised? Tax collectors worked for the Romans. The Romans would farm out, is the word that's used, the collection of their taxes to other people, to local people. They would actually pay for it. They would bid and pay the Roman government for the position of being tax collector. And so, as tax collector, they had the authority of the Romans behind them. Rome wanted so much money in taxes. They would give the quota of taxes. But they didn't care if the tax collectors collected more than that amount and kept it. And that's one of the reasons why the tax collectors were so despised, because using the authority of Rome behind them, they could charge any taxes they wanted. They could put taxes on anything they wanted. Like if you owned a cart with a horse, they could tax you for using the road. They could tax you for the number of wheels on the cart. They could tax you for the horse. And there was nothing you could do about it. And if you couldn't pay the tax, they were ready to lend you the money to pay the tax at exorbitant rate of interest. They were despised. They were also despised because they were working with the Romans. And they came in contact with the Romans on a regular basis. And the Romans' money, which was money that had the imprint of the emperor on it, and the emperor was believed to be a god, and so it was idolatrous. And so tax collectors were not allowed into the temple. They were not allowed to participate in the religious rites of Israel because they were viewed as unclean. It would make them unclean by handling that money, and also traitors. So Zacchaeus, there's no way, he wants to go see Jesus. Nobody was going to help him see Jesus. What we're doing in Operation Easter, just as an aside, is we're trying to help people get a view of Jesus. What we've been asking of the congregation, if you've chosen to participate, it's totally voluntary, is that all throughout Lent to have been praying for someone who you will invite to come to church on Easter Sunday just for that very purpose of helping them get a glimpse of who Jesus is, a look at Jesus. Nobody would help Zacchaeus. Operation Easter would be kind of like maybe putting him on your shoulders or just moving through the crowd and letting him stand beside you. So please, if God is leading it on your heart, participate in Operation Easter. Okay, back to the story. Zacchaeus sees that Jesus is passing through the city, and so he goes on ahead and climbs a sycamore tree. Sycamore trees were not allowed to be in the city of Jericho. That's how we know it's outside the city. There was a certain distance that they were not allowed to be planted towards the city walls. So Zacchaeus goes out of the city, finds a sycamore tree, which, by the way, had low branches and the foliage that would allow someone to hide. So he goes up there. Nobody sees him. And he's going to get a glimpse of this guy, Jesus, and remain safe. Jesus comes by. The crowd is still following him out. They would follow him a little, you know, some distance out of town, just as they met him and brought him in town. And Jesus sees him up in the tree. You can't hide. You can't hide from who Jesus is. And, you know, he knows. We might try to hide, but no way. He says, Zacchaeus, I must, that's the word, must, in the translations. I looked it up. I must be a guest in your house today. Wow. Not only does he get to see this honored guy, but the honored guy says, with nothing else, he doesn't yell at Zacchaeus. He doesn't point to the crowd and say, hey, there's the tax collector. Zacchaeus would have been in some trouble there. He in a way protected Zacchaeus, because Zacchaeus came down out of the tree right away. And as we read the text, we have to kind of make some leaps here with the text. He came down and at once welcomed him. Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus gladly into his home. Just as Matthew did when Jesus called him. In that passage, it says Matthew gave a great banquet with a crowd of tax collectors and other people. So what we should assume is when it says but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, is that he too is giving Jesus a banquet. Because he stood up because he would have been reclining at table the way meals were celebrated at that point. You reclined on a table. Well, the food was in the middle, or you know, on a pallet of some kind. The food was in the middle, and you know, you were around in a circle and you ate with your hands, and that's the way the meal was. So Zacchaeus gets up and he makes this announcement. We don't know what the conversation was. We don't know how many hours Jesus had spent with him, what the conversation was walking back into Jericho, into Zacchaeus' house. We don't know everybody who was there, but maybe Zacchaeus, like Matthew, had some of his tax collector people. He was a chief tax collector, which meant that he took something from the top of what all the other tax collectors collected. That's why he was so wealthy. Zacchaeus said this, I am going to give half of everything I own, which would have been substantial, to the poor. And then he said, and anybody I have swindled, cheated, I will pay them back four times the amount. There was a rate if you were to make restitution for someone you had cheated. The custom was to give them 120%. That is, you would pay back what you swindled them and you would add 20%. Zacchaeus volunteers to give 400%, well above the practice of the norm for those who cheated others. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Let's look at a couple. That was Zacchaeus' response. And we'll talk about the outcome of that response in a moment. The people, however, responded indignantly. And this was something that was part of Jesus' ministry all throughout his 3 years of active ministry. With Matthew, it was in Galilee, and it was at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. With Zacchaeus, it's in Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, which is later, and it's with this one. He ate with people who were outcast by the communities. Eating with someone is a very intimate thing. It's important. You are in a way honoring people to eat with them. The person who is the host, who has somebody eating with them, and the person who's invited. We have seen that Jesus ate with all kinds of people. Remember, there was a woman one time came in who was known as a sinner. Now, with Matthew, it also says there was a great deal of tax collectors and sinners. Sinner, technically, was anyone who, because of their actions, was declared unclean and not able to participate in the full life, religious life of the people. So it wasn't just that they were sinners, it was that as a result of their being quote-unquote sinners, whatever it was, adultery or whatever, in any case, swindling people, they were removed, they were not allowed to participate in the religious life of the people. And not only the religious leaders, but the people went to Jesus' disciples and they said, what's your guy doing? He's eating with tax collectors and sinners. Those that other people would have absolutely nothing to do with. What Jesus does with Zacchaeus is that he restores him. He restores him by being with him. We don't know what the conversation was, but the effect of being with Jesus changed Zacchaeus' life. He restored Zacchaeus to himself, to his own integrity. Integrity means wholeness, being saved. One of the definitions of being saved is to be made whole, to be healed. So Zacchaeus is made whole. He is integrated his life. But look at the effect on the community. The poor of that community are going to receive an amazing gift. The standard of living in that community is probably going to be raised to some extent. There are going to be people who were hungry, who are going to be fed. There are going to be poor people who may very well be lifted out of poverty in a way that maybe, just maybe, they would be able to sustain themselves out of poverty. Jesus not only restores Zacchaeus to himself, he restores him to the community. By the act that Zacchaeus does and by what Jesus pronounces on him, he says, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. He is one of you. He is restored. And he's restored in his relationship with God because now he won't be unclean. Now he will be able to, as a child of Abraham, as someone who is part of Israel, God's Israel, he will not be a traitor. He will not be an outcast. He will not be rejected and hated and despised, but he will be brought back in to the community. The community will bless him, and he will be a blessing to the community. For Jesus said this, for the Son of Man came to seek out, and to save what was lost. What if during Holy Week, or around that time, Jesus came to our church? Over a period of time, where would he spend his time? Well, I'm pretty sure that Jesus would be at the Skeets pantry when food is given out to people who are in need. I'm pretty sure he would be there. It'd be kind of great to have around, a couple loaves and fishes, and, we could feed all of New Jersey, maybe. I'm pretty sure he'd be there. I know he would be on Tuesday nights and Friday nights at the AA meetings that meet in our church. Maybe even on Monday nights at the NA meeting that meets in our church. Because he came to seek and to save the lost, those who need him. He tells the people in response to Matthew, look, people who are well don't need a doctor. It's the people who are sick who need the doctor. People who are righteous don't need him. It's the people who are sinners who need him. But you know what? I'm also pretty confident that Jesus would be here in our sanctuary with us on Sunday mornings. I think he would be happy and receive our worship and the joyful singing and everything. But the reason I think he would be here is because he knows that some of us are lost. That just because we sit in the church, just because we come, give, serve, it doesn't mean we're not lost. Because I know that there's lost people here. I've been lost any number of times. You can't hide from Jesus. Zacchaeus climbed a tree and didn't do him any good. Because Jesus was seeking him out. Jesus is looking. He was looking for the ones who needed him. He called him down from the tree. Zacchaeus jumped at the opportunity and took him into his home. You don't hide from somebody in your home. You let them in. You let them into your life. Here's something also to think about. We ourselves may not be lost, but we know people who are lost. They may live in our house. They may be our neighbors. They may be family members. They may be our children. Jesus is seeking them. He hasn't let them go. He hasn't let you go. He hasn't forgotten. Because it's why he came. To seek. And to save. To make whole. To heal. Those who are lost. Even you. Even me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.